Good evening and welcome now to our Sunday evening programme on New Life Radio 106 FM entitled Songs That Touch the Heart. I'm Bob Barber.
And I'm Lorna Barber. And we would like you just to sit back now and relax and enjoy the next hour with hymns that you're about to hear. We will tell you about the writers and how these hymns came to be written. And you can sing along if you wish. I'm sure there'll be no one too bothered. We trust that it will be a blessing to your own soul.
It has been said that hymns express a sense of intimacy with Jesus. We read in the book of Job where the dawn of creation, at the very start of creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And since then, right down through the centuries, we have been given a constant stream of poetic verse giving praise, worship and honour to our glorious Lord.
Some hymns have been born out of life's tragedy or trial as fashioned in the furnace of affliction. Others have been breathed out of a soul touched by the happy experience of a fleeting moment, then recorded in verse for generations to come. Some have been inspired from some lesson in the Bible written on the heart as with an iron pen and then into a hymn book for the blessing of others.
But for whatever reason, whatever the circumstances, we're indebted to this great army of hymn writers who've given us a legacy of their labours. Excuse me. This year, we're going to introduce a number of real new hymn writers. In the past, we have looked at Charlotte Elliott, Charles Wesley, we've looked at Isaac Watts. But this year, I want to give you a list of probably less known writers and the hymns that they wrote. We'll introduce them to you as we have on previous broadcasts. So the first hymn, I'll ask Lorna to introduce it.
The first hymn that we're going to play is Thine Be the Glory. This hymn we have chosen is well known and appropriate on this Resurrection Day, a hymn that expresses the awesome greatness of God in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was written first in the French language in 1884 by Edmond Bondré, who was a pastor for 35 years at Vevey, Lake Geneva, Switzerland. It was translated into English by R.B. Hall, a Baptist pastor in the early 1900s, capturing the spirit of the original hymn. Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the victory thou o'er death has won. Listen to the verse, lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For our Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. And we're going to dedicate this one to James and Joan Glendinning and James and Margaret McGarry.
Angels in bright raiment robed
Welcome back again to our program, Songs That Touch the Heart. And our next hymn is known to our listeners, I think, for most cases. It's an Irish traditional hymn attributed to an Irishman, believe it or not, Dallan Forgaill, of the 6th century. The text has been part of the Irish Christian tradition for centuries because of the setting of the tune, which we all know and will know about in a moment, because it came to be known as a hymn, and it was originally as a prayer. It was translated from Old Irish into English by Mary Elizabeth Byrne in 1905 and put into verse by Eleanor Hull in 1912.
The hymn we have chosen is Be Thou My Vision. This hymn was written as a prayer with the desire to accept Christ as our pattern for living, our ideal, and our Saviour and Lord. The writer's adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ is told in the names and phrases of each verse, such as Lord of my heart, my true word, my inheritance, my treasure, and my victory won. The words are all focused on the risen Christ. Be Thou My Vision, and we're going to dedicate this one to Mrs. Anne Mullen, Mrs. Tilly Harbinson, Margaret Montgomery, and Sheila McLaughlin.
Thank you.
next hymn is entitled Onward Christian Soldiers, and this was written by Sabine Baring Gould in 1865 for his Sunday school children to assist in their march through the village street of Horbury Bridge and over a wooden bridge on the River Calder, which was on the main road from Wakefield to Huddersfield during the 15th century. The third verse reads, "We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity." With his eye on the children of Horbury, they were able to march in unity and unison as one body.
However, on Sunday morning of August the 10th, 1941, the British battleship Prince of Wales was at anchor in the Placentia Bay, which is on the south east coast of Newfoundland in Canada. And on her proud quarterdeck, there were a happy crowd of British and American sailors. And they were gathered together for a church parade. Facing the great camouflage guns were two famous men, Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, singing heartily with the sailors, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Together, the two men had chosen the hymns for this church parade at which the American and the British soldiers stood shoulder to shoulder, a symbol of what was to come later in the same year. Let's listen to the words as sung by Billy Graham Crusade Choir.
Our next hymn is going to be a dedication, a very special dedication, to Mrs. Angela Cargill in Montrose, Scotland. This is from your friend Kathleen McCallion, who was your bridesmaid in this church, Limavady Baptist, almost 29 years ago. So, Angela, I hope you enjoy this How Great Thou Art. And also, I'm going to let you into a little secret. Kathleen didn't want me to tell anybody, but I'm only telling you. And, and this is Kathleen and Tommy's 25th wedding anniversary. So I'll also say congratulations to Tommy and Kathleen, and I hope you've had a lovely day.
One of the favorite songs around the world, a song that we've only used one time in this crusade, but we're going to sing with Bev Shea, How Great Thou Art.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
hymn is Nearer, My God, to Get to Thee. The inspiration for this next hymn, written in 1840 by Sarah Flower Adams, the daughter and editor of a London newspaper, came from the story of Jacob at Bethel in Genesis 28, 10 to 22. As she read the moving story, a prayer was born in her heart, and she was longed to be drawn nearer to God. Some say her minister had preached on the passage and was looking for a suitable hymn to use with it. Using her literary skills, Mrs. Adams skillfully condensed the biblical story of Jacob's dream into five stanzas.
I suppose this hymn, Nearer My God to Thee, is remembered most as the final hymn played as the great ship Titanic sang into the deep icy waters of the Atlantic Ocean during her maiden voyage on that fateful night in April 1912. Many stories have been told of that fateful night, but surely the most poignant of all the accounts of how the band, which had played all evening dance music, to finally break out in the strains of this famous hymn, Nearer, My God, to Thee.
And we're going to dedicate this one to Mrs. Eiling Anderson, Granny Barber, and Mrs. Elsie Glendinning.
Nearer, my God, to Thee.
Our next hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. And Lord Tennyson said this to be the greatest in the English language. The powerful phrases of this hymn said, Lord Tennyson declared the attributes of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The hymn is Holy, 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 written by Reginald Heber, and first sung in the parish church of Hodnick in Western England. It is based on Isaiah chapter 6 and the seraphim described there. Reginald Heber was vicar in his family church from 1807 until 1822.
Herbert was an uncommon man, and he was born into a family of wealth and culture, which of course gave him his life of service to God, both at home and in England, and also as far away as India. When Reginald Herbert accepted the post of Bishop of Calcutta in 1823, it realised his long-term, deep-seated interest in foreign missions. As a bishop, Herbert served a diocese that included much of the South Pacific. And for 3 years he travelled tirelessly from place to place, using his remarkable gifts to advance the gospel.
In April 1823, Herbert preached on the evils of the Indian caste system before a large audience in Madras. Afterward, he went off to cool in the swimming pool at the home where he was staying. Sometime later, he was found drowned, the result of a stroke. At the age of 43, his brilliant life was ended, and he was buried in the grounds of the church where he preached in Madras. In 1875, the Prince of Wales, later King Edward VII, honoured his memory by placing a tablet there. We are now going to listen to an updated version of Holy, 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 sung by the Billy Graham International Choir, and this is dedicated to James and Rita Fallows.
This next piece, we will tell you a little about a man who wrote the tunes to many of our favourite hymns. While it's nice to know about the songwriters, we have given one slot in the programme this evening to one person who wrote the tunes to at least 300 hymns. One of his tunes was written for the hymn All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. This tune was composed by John Bacchus Dykes. This man was born, John was born on March the 10th, 1823, in Kingston-on-Hull, England. Now, at the age of 10, he played the organ at the church at St. John's Church in Hull, England, where his grandfather was the pastor, or the vicar. But he could also play the organ, the piano, the violin, and the horn. So quite a boy at 10 years of age. He also wrote many of the tunes to other well-known hymns, such as Arise, My Soul, Arise, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, Holy, 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 we've just heard it, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, Only a Sinner, Rock of Ages, and many, many more.
In 1843, at the age of 20, he entered St. Catherine's College, Cambridge, and graduated in 1847 in classics, and later formed the University Music Society. He was ordained by the Church of England as a deacon and served as a curate in Yorkshire in 1847, and then as minister in 1848. In 1850, he married Susan and later became music director of the Durham Cathedral.
John Dykes died at the age of 53 on the 22nd of January 1876, and his remains were buried in St. Oswald's Churchyard in Durham. Although he wrote and published many sermons and works of music, he's remembered most of all for the many, many hymn tunes he composed, which were described by some as the finest composition of Victorian times. So listen also to the words as well as the tune of this great hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And I should say also that this hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, was written by Edward Perronet when he served as a missionary in India. And the music, of course, as we said, was written by John Brachus Dykes at Durham Cathedral. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
And I'm going to dedicate this one to our catering staff who served us up a beautiful dinner today. And they worked so hard all over the weekend. Anne Singleton especially. Anne must be exhausted. She's been on her feet all weekend. And Anne, Lorna McCurry, Betty Somerville, Helen Irons, Kenny Bingham, Stephanie Grant and Claire Hutton. And if I've missed anyone out, all the other caterings, I think. And I mentioned Helen. Helen's. And I would just like to thank you all. We really do appreciate all the work you put into that. And we just can sit down and enjoy it. And I hope you enjoy this piece that we've chosen for you.
Now up on the left-hand corner while you're still standing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. And crown him, Lord of all. A great hymn of praise to the beautiful tune Diadem. Let us sing together.
Oh,
you. You may be seated, please.
Our next hymn is the famous gospel song, Ivory Palaces. This was written in the mountains of North Carolina in the summer of 1915 by the famous evangelist Dr. Wilbur Chapman, preaching at a Presbyterian conference. With him were the song leader Charles Alexander and soloist Albert Brown, with their pianist Henry Barraclough, who is the author of this hymn. Henry Barraclough was a 24-year-old Britisher who had met Chapman the previous year while he was preaching in England. During the conference, the evangelist spoke one evening on the 45th Psalm. He believed that this was prophetic. Messianic Psalm, which speaks of the relationship of Christ, the bridegroom, to his bride, the church.
In verse 8 of Psalm 45, which was Dr. Chapman's text, it says, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have been made thee glad." You see, the oriental spices and perfumes mentioned here were used for many purposes. They were poured on clothing so that their delightful odour seemed to be part of the very texture of the cloth. On the evening after the conference, the song leader Charles Alexander, along with Henry Barraclough, drove with some friends to a YMCA hostel just a few miles away. And while sitting in the front seat of the car, young Henry Barraclough thought about the message he had just heard. And he scribbled the lines of this hymn on a little visiting card he had picked up while visiting a village store. The following morning, Mrs. Alexander and the soloist, Albert Brown, sang this new hymn. Later on, at the request of Dr. Chapman, the evangelist Henry Barraclough wrote the fourth verse, reminding us that one day Christ will come again, wearing the same glorious garments. I believe that through all eternity we will be reminded of the beauty of our Lord Jesus, of his sufferings for us, of his forgiveness and cleansing, which he has made possible for us through the cross. Out of the ivory palaces. Who's that dedication?
I'm going to dedicate this one to John and Elizabeth McCormick, and to John, especially when he's not feeling too well. John, I hope you will soon feel better and that we missed you this weekend. And also to Sadie McAmoyle on her retirement. And Sadie, I hope you really enjoy your retirement, and we're looking forward to your more help now in the all-age friendship. And look after your dear husband, Norman, who is not too well at the moment.
Texture feels its fragrance reached to this heart of mine. With joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palace, great eternal love made my Savior God. In garments glorious he will come to open wide the door. Ivory palaces.
Welcome back to the songs that we love, the songs that touch the heart, and our next song, He the Pearly Gates Will Open. In preparation for a series of crusade evenings in Scandinavia in 1955, Billy Graham Crusade were looking for someone on something simple that they could sing in the language of Sweden and Denmark, and for the American Swedes and Danes living in places like Illinois and Minnesota. One day they came in contact with a lady called Else Awen from Sweden, who had come to America to be a student at the Moody Bible Institute. And after graduation, she began working amongst the Swedish immigrants in Chicago, and later became a full-time evangelist. The words of this hymn, He the Pearly Gates Were Open, has been one of her theme songs.
One day during a meeting in Chicago, Miss Allen was approached by an old man who gave her the words for the stanzas. They had been written by Fred Blom, a former Christian worker in Sweden. Blom had come to New York early in the 20th century and, through circumstances that are not quite clear, had fallen into sin and was sent to prison. It was there, sick in soul and body, that he found Christ anew. The song was his expression of his joy because Jesus had healed his backsliding and forgiven all his sin. He, the Pearly Gates, has now been translated into more than a dozen languages. And we're going to dedicate this one to Larry and Margaret Kearney, Betty Brawley and Else Glendinning.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin.
Cliff, for our Swedish friends especially, let's sing a chorus in Swedish.
Han skall öppna pärleporten, så att jag får komma in. Genom blodet har han frälst mig, och mig givit hjort in life's eventide at twilight. At his door I'll knock and wait. Through the precious blood of Jesus, I shall enter heaven's gate.
Welcome back again to our next hymn. Our next hymn was written by Horatio Stapford. It is based on the scripture Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We all like inner peace, but it's also true that unclouded skies and gentle winds do nothing to test our vessel of faith. It takes the storm and the tempest to prove our strength of our trust in the Almighty God and our Heavenly Father. I think nowhere is the truth more aptly illustrated than in the story which accompanies the writing of this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Horatio Spafford lived with his wife and four daughters in Chicago. He was a lawyer and a devout and sincere Christian. One day in 1873, he stood on the quayside in Chicago and bid farewell to his family as they set sail to visit relatives in far-off Europe. He was not to realize then that he would never see them again. Some days later, the ship bound for Le Havre in France collided with another steamship in mid-Atlantic and sank almost immediately. Before it did so, Mrs. Spafford was able to have a prayer with her children and commit them to the mercy of the Lord. This was the last time she was ever to see them on earth.
Fortunately, a lifeboat spotted Mrs. Spafford and she was rescued. And when she arrived in England with the rest of the survivors, she sent her husband a tearful message which read, "Saved alone." The word struck Horatio Spafford with full force and understandably plunged him into deep sorrow. 3 years after this tragedy, Horatio wrote this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," in memory of his four precious daughters. Happily, each one had already received Jesus Christ into their lives as their personal saviour before embarking on that fateful voyage. It is very difficult for us to predict how we would respond to such a tragedy affect us. But we do know that the God who sustained them can also sustain us. I wonder, can you say that if that tragedy should strike you, that you could say, "It is well with your soul"?
And we're going to dedicate this one to Catherine Meakin. And Catherine, we're just thinking of you, especially at this Easter time. And we know our thoughts are with you, that John is very much missed over this weekend. And we just pray that you will be able to sit and relax and listen to this song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
I'd like also to dedicate it to Fred McElmoyle. Fred's not too well at the moment. I wish him a speedy recovery.
It has been a real delight for us to have Willa Dorsey from Portland, Oregon, with us in this crusade. The choir is going to join Willa in singing an old song that speaks about being well with our soul. "It is well with my soul." And then after she has sung with the choir, Mr. Graham right away with a message.
Peace like a river, a tear.
Our next hymn is Out of My Bondage, Sorrow and Night. This expressed the deep desire of the heart to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. It was written by William True Sleeper, who was an American congregational clergyman. He had pastorates in Massachusetts and Maine, pastoring the Summer Street Congregational Church in Worcester, Massachusetts, for over 30 years. There are two gospel songs by Pastor Sleeper that are still in use. One is Ye Must Be Born Again, 1877, and Jesus I Come, 1887. Ye Must Be Born Again was written when an evangelist assisted by musician George Stevens was holding meetings in Worcester. The man preached on Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus about the necessity of the new birth. Just as we needed a physical birth to enter the physical world as a child of our parents, so we need a spiritual birth to enter the family of God and have him as our Father.
The other perceptive gospel song by William Sleeper is the one which we're going to play just now. It's the hymn, Jesus, I Come. As well as being a fine song, he deals with various aspects of our spiritual need and looks to Christ for the answer. Make this the prayer of your heart as you listen to the words, Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come.
And we're going to dedicate this piece to Kathleen and Billy Kerskaden. And Kathleen, we're glad to hear that you're making good progress, and I hope you enjoy this piece. And also to Louis and Fred Burrell. And Louis, I hope you get well soon. And our final is Billy and Lily McMorris. And I hope you all enjoy this.
Now time for us to sign off. The clock has beat us as we said goodbye tonight to you from both Lorna and myself. And thank you for listening to the hymns that touch the heart, and we trust that you've enjoyed the blessing that comes from the praise and the worship of our loving Heavenly Father. I'd like to also say and echo what I said this morning. Thanks to all who worked behind the scenes, car washing, catering, program production, technical support, telephones, all working for the Lord in the presentation of the gospel. I want to thank everyone for their hard work, and it's much appreciated. So we'll just sign off now with a tract.
Grace and love, light by today.